Hi, I'm Bob Wells, and I'd like to welcome you to the Get Real Show, sponsored by Keystone Partners Group, the show that strips away the myth and mystery surrounding success in the real estate world. Today, I'm really excited to have two amazingly talented individuals, Paul and Amanda Lott. Paul and Amanda Lott are the principals of the Paul and Amanda Lott team that is headquartered in beautiful Westchester, Pennsylvania. Their volume is about $30 million in closed sales volume every single year. They have amazing backgrounds and talents that I know that you're going to want to hear and be able to apply to your life and your business. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Paul and Amanda Lott of the Lott team. Thank you so much for being with me here today, Paul and Amanda. I'd love to have an opportunity to talk to you a little bit about the reality behind your background. What happened when in your younger years that kind of shaped you as a person and kind of prepared you for success in business?
My dad passed away when I was younger, 14. Mm-hmm. And that put me in a position where I had to kind of take a leadership role in the family with my two sisters and my mom. And
sure, yeah.
And I think that if I can trace it back, that's where I kind of began to take control. And I realized I had to take control of my own destiny at that point.
A lot of responsibility, too.
A lot of responsibility.
At a young age.
Mom was, loved my mom, but she, had to kind of get it together for a couple of years, and I helped her get it together. And that probably shaped my decision-making as I went through my later teen years.
Were you born here in Pennsylvania?
I was, yeah, in State College, okay. Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Okay. You went to State College, too, right?
I did. Went to State College Area High School.
Right where you were born.
Yeah, and went to Penn State University. Mm-hmm. My father was a professor at the university and a local doctor, local psychiatrist, which is another reason why I turned out the way I am. he actually used to see patients in our home. Mm-hmm. So every now and again, the patients would come to the front door and knock on the door, and we would, as kids, answer the door and say yes, and we would get a confused look, and they're looking for the doctor. And
you're ushering them in.
We'd have to refer them around the side of the house and to the right office. But anyway, I think we got a really good, having a dad who was a psychiatrist probably gave my two sisters and I a really good foundation for caring for people and for being understanding and listening and perhaps getting to know that everybody's not the same, that some people need a little more time, some people need a lot of help.
Certainly a valuable skill set in the real estate business.
Very much so, very much.
How about you, Amanda?
So I grew up in rural southwestern Pennsylvania, and that was at the time when the steel mills were all going out of business. Hmm. So the priority in my family was safety and security. Mm-hmm. And so, go to undergrad, be a business major, get a job with a big company.
You went to Penn State too, right?
I did not.
You did?
No.
Okay.
I married into the cult. No, I did not go to Penn State. But it's not too late, so we'll talk about that later.
Right. Yeah.
So
there's always law school.
There's always law school, right? Yeah. So get the job with the with the big, safe, secure company. And because I did that, I was able to travel the world. Hmm. And that probably had more impact on my future in business and my future as a parent and as a partner than anything growing up. So then went to grad school, got the MBA, and eventually landed in Philly, actually that beach in Avalon.
Yeah. Avalon.
Where I met Paul.
30th Street Beach.
30th Street Beach in Avalon.
Right.
That's kind of cool. So what kind of work did you do for the corporate world?
So sort of that management track where you do a little bit of everything, right? So you do some finance, you do some IT, some ops, customer service, account management. Hmm. So if there was a corporate position to have, I probably had it. Mm-hmm. Couldn't keep a job, right?
Right.
But what was exciting about it was, to me, it was in heavy manufacturing. And mm-hmm. so that's not something we hear a lot about these days.
Yeah, sure.
So I got to work in, rolling mills and big factories, and that was pretty cool.
She was on her way up the ladder to Davenport, which was is that the international headquarters?
No, but it was a big facility. So
yeah.
The Midwest.
Yeah. So you're, and what type of work did you do before real estate?
I did sales, accounting systems and software, co-branded marketing partnerships with software companies and banks.
Okay, so you both come from a professional background.
Yeah.
Okay, and you, when you say travel the world, where did you go?
Curious. So I lived in Charlotte for most of the 90s. And during that time, I was with an international business unit of a big aluminum company. So I got to go to South America, to some of the major cities, and also the interior, which was very interesting. And I also lived in Europe. And while I was living there in Germany, I got to travel all over Europe. So,
how did that shift your ability to communicate with different people? Because I would imagine that's a valuable skill in real estate, in what you do.
Absolutely. So even when I was working in Charlotte, and you talk about communication, right, there's a slightly different accent from southwestern Pennsylvania. So you learn to listen. You really learn to listen more, speak less, speak slowly and clearly. Okay. And, you know, back then, we weren't doing Skype to do business. You know, we were on the phone. And you had to listen a lot and speak clearly. So...
So tell me, what does your business look like today? And then we'll kind of skip back to what it used to be and how that evolved. What does your business look like today?
Well, we have 13 agents who work with us. I guess 13 total people on our team, three of which are administrative people, full-time administrative.
Wow. Do they work for anyone else or just you?
Just us.
Okay.
Just us. And so that has changed pretty dramatically over the years. We've made a lot of bad decisions early on in when we first, you know, started the team.
I'm sure you're the only one that's ever
made. Of course, yeah. No one else. But we've made, you know, we've learned through failing at hiring, really, for many years. And it really took until just the recent years to the point where we got very purposeful through Recruit Select, now Career Visioning, which we just took together. And that when we got purposeful about who we were going to hire and purposeful about our goals and purposeful about coaching and receiving coaching, that made the biggest difference.
Really excited to hear more about that a little later, about the process. How about units and volume? And do you have a specific operating area that you're focused on? Tell me about that.
Right. So we're humming along at about a $30 million a year pace and volume. And GCI target for this year is, I believe, $800,000. And we're so fortunate, Bob, that we live in the suburbs of Philadelphia. So we, you know, our bread and butter is, that $400,000 to $500,000 market. So we're very fortunate to play there. We also do a decent amount of the luxury business in that area, and a little beyond our borders. And that's most of our business. A little bit of investment, but that's where we participate.
Wow, that's amazing. So how did that happen? I mean, did you wake up one day and find out that you were immediately successful in real estate?
Oh, charm and good looks. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
How did it start? What was day one like?
day one was when I drove to Harrisburg and got my license and showed up back at the Keller Williams office and handed that license over to Rudy Usick and officially, you know, started at Keller Williams Brandywine Valley.
So you've been with one company?
Well, I interviewed 12 other companies. I went out and interviewed and did the Ben Franklin approach, talked about training and compensation and with all the other traditional brokerages out there, and saved our Keller Williams location for last because it was right outside the community where we live.
A little bit of attention to detail there. Yeah. 12 companies is unusual.
The grass wasn't even done growing in the front of the Keller Williams office where I went.
That's interesting. You know,
which I saved for last.
It was Keller who back then.
It was more or less Keller who.
2007.
Yeah.
Okay, right before the shift in the market.
Yeah.
So timed it perfectly, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. We
it
did.
Was 06. You know why? You got your 10-year card.
It was July 06.
Yeah.
Did you start the business together in real estate, or did one you started first?
I started first, and it was more or less of okay, what's Paul going to do now? Because I was getting through a 12-month severance with my prior position.
Sure.
Got my license because we had invested in investment properties for several years before that.
Yeah.
Even before Amanda, I had an interest in investing in real estate. And that kind of pulled my interest into real estate because I worked with agents and I knew that there were some really good agents out there, but mostly there were agents who needed a lot of help.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that they didn't really do the job for me that I thought I needed. So I knew when I became an agent that I could probably do a really good job. And
you
so
saw a need that needed to be filled at the time.
I did. Yeah. I saw, you know, through working with 12, a half dozen agents, you know, 6 to 12 agents over the years, it became very apparent that there were very good agents and then there were just the rest of the agent population. So, you know, got my license, sat down. What really sold me, obviously, on Keller Williams was Rudy Usick. He was one of my first mentors in the business. He put the Red Book in front of me, and I remember taking the Red Book home and putting it on the kitchen counter and Amanda looking at it and saying, "What did you buy now?" You know, the comment I got was, what did you buy now? You know, and sure
I
enough.
I can elaborate on that.
Yeah. You were looking at this from the outside, but what were you thinking with him going into real estate and did you know he would eventually rope you in?
Okay, that was two questions.
So
I was still in the corporate world was also pregnant. So I was going to work every day, pregnant, and also looking at the fact that we were going to be having a baby soon, and I was not going to be working.
And he's doing some new thing.
And he's coming home with the latest book, which is just great.
Yeah.
Right?
Carlton Sheets.
Yeah. Right. So it was more like, oh, this is what you came home with today, was this book.
Okay. Yeah. And I said, no, you really have to read this. I mean, some of the models, and I started to read it, and had some long conversations with a couple agents in Keller Williams and Rudy Usick, and it's interesting. So I started to get up, dress up, and show up. That's the first thing I remember from my early training. But that's what I did. I did that naturally. I got up, dressed up, and showed up, and went through the training, did as much online as we could. We didn't really have the online training we have now, obviously.
Yeah, sure. It's changed a lot.
But I poured through 443, which is now Ignite. I poured through 36123, which actually wasn't even written yet. I guess I'm lying about that. But
training for different levels of production.
Yeah, and I started to just simply, you know, build my database and get calls from people. I made an announcement that I was in real estate. Mm-hmm. We didn't have Facebook back then. We didn't have anything. We didn't really have Facebook at all, right?
We weren't using Facebook.
We were on LinkedIn,
then.
But we had this small database. We started to explore different options for database, and we finally loaded. And what happened was, I'm so good at talking to people, and Amanda is so good at the operations part of the business.
Yeah,
that we selected top producer, we selected the database that we chose, and Amanda started to close her door at work and load that database.
So that was from an early stage in your business, that you were actually being very conscious of taking the people that you were meeting and putting them into a database.
That's right.
Has that ever stopped?
It really has never stopped. I think we, somewhere in the middle years, we kind of lost focus on that was the most important thing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting when that happens, when you grow to a certain point, when you think that, okay, gee, we've got to try the next shiny nugget. We've got to try the next new lead generation, you know, concept. And sure enough, it all comes back to communicating, to loading a database and communicating with your database and really meeting people you can call your friends and your sphere. We did that very well, I think, in the beginning years. And then we've just recently, in the last couple, 3-4 years, gotten back to that as being a big part of our lead generation strategy.
And that's a really powerful message for our audience to know how that can be so important at the beginning, and then as your business grows, it starts to become less of a focus, and eventually you realize again why you became successful in the first place, and it's the relationships with people, right?
It really is.
So what did the inner MBA say when you first looked at that Red Book?
So I did look at the Red Book, and I started to read it, and as I said, I came from a manufacturing background, and I said, this is Toyota Production System for real estate. We can do this. We can so do this. We're done. Because that's what I did in the corporate world. And the Red Book was just a manual for how you do this in real estate. So with his sales skills and with my ops background, I was absolutely confident that we were going to be just fine.
Yeah. It's interesting. It was that. And it was also the fact that, you know, at the end of my first year, I had, you know, 7 or 8 closes that amounted to more than my corporate salary.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So that was when Amanda said, okay, I think you can keep doing this for a while.
Yeah.
Forget about dusting off the resume.
Go sure.
Continue in real estate and continue doing
that. That was a great first year.
Yeah, it was a good first year.
Yeah.
A good end of a first year. It was a slow start. Mm-hmm. I was on a severance, so I was lazy and learning, right?
Yeah.
Once we took off, we didn't stop.
So how long was it before you joined the business?
It was officially in a licensed capacity about 2 years, yeah, I think the summer of 2008.
So were you doing some unlicensed administrative stuff before that then?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep, phasing out of the corporate gig, learning how to be a parent.
Yeah, sure.
And doing the unlicensed
stuff.
It's
a lot to balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the market crashed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that happens, right?
Yeah.
Market crashed.
Yeah. So when did you start thinking about adding another person? I mean, the two of you were working together, actually. So you were working more in systems, and you were working more in the sales mm-hmm. side, right? Mm-hmm. And what happened after that? When did you start saying, wow, we need person number 3?
Well, it became apparent when we had, I think we actually had 10-plus listings, somewhere between 10 and 15 listings. And it became very apparent that I couldn't work with all the buyers that were coming off the listings
right.
and all the
sure.
buyers that were responding to our marketing. So... So we like to say in the early years we rescued people. So we had a lot of people noticing my success and from other brands because I'm out there talking to other agents.
Yeah.
And a few of those agents called me up and said, hey, I want to talk with you. I see your signs everywhere and I see your success and I'd like to talk with you. And I said, sure, absolutely. And that was, you know, so we had some initial conversations with a couple agents. We brought in Dawn Mollichella.
Mm-hmm.
She was our first buyer's agent. She's still with us today.
Wow. How many years?
Oh, gosh. It's been 9 years. Maybe 8.5, 9 years.
Mm-hmm. That's that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really a testament to the culture of your team that you're able to not only hire really talented people, but they right. stay with you for 9 years, which is unusual in many cases in real estate.
Yeah. Loyalty hasn't been an issue. I mean, you know, we're loyal to our team agents, and we believe that most of them are loyal to us. Most all of them are.
Mm-hmm.
But we started to realize that, you know, we had to hire with more purpose. We had to make sure that we were doing a hiring process versus just having people come in and talk to us and join us. You know, carte blanche.
So tell me about the process.
Yeah.
What do you follow to get the result that you're looking for? Because I think a lot of agents are very fearful of a hire,
mm-hmm.
Maybe because they're not sure whether they'll be able to afford to pay them on a regular basis.
Right.
But
yeah.
probably more often than not, it's they just don't know what to do first.
And right.
So how did you get through that?
Well, I think, you know, I'll take that because I was doing a lot of that. Assistant work, the executive assistant work, in addition to working with buyers and sellers as needed.
Mm-hmm.
We did bring on that agent and who's still with us, and we wanted her to be focused really on just selling and working with buyers. So I sort of cheaped out, and I think a lot of agents who are in the business for a couple of years can relate to that. There were two things. One, I didn't know if I could sustain an employee. No business owner wants to tell an employee, I can't afford you,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
I have to let you go.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that that fear. And part of it was just cheaping out, like, oh, this isn't important work. I can handle this. I can mm-hmm. do this at night. I can do this after the baby goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And so that's how we approached the hire of our first assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we finally decided, or I finally decided that this is just ridiculous, that we really need to hire someone, we did it with interns.
We did.
We did summer interns.
Our first employees, who, by the way, while they weren't successful for us, they mm-hmm. were wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
And they held the values. I think most all held the values that we hold today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's most important to say that we had, in case you're all watching this for some reason.
But we had
several hires in the beginning that just didn't work out.
And when you say interns, are they paid interns?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely.
And why did you go that route versus the alternative, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. Probably just being a bit frugal.
Yeah.
The busy time is in the summer. We live in Westchester. We have, you know, an availability.
Westchester University is right in your backyard, right?
At the university.
Great.
And they're bright, they're talented,
sure.
they're interested, and they actually work. If you interview them correctly, they come in and actually work.
So yeah.
Right.
It
so we actually had good experiences there, but it took gosh, it took several years before we actually hired a full-time salaried assistant, job description, right. you know, benefits, the whole mm-hmm. thing. And that was right. probably 4 or 5 years ago.
We did our best to ignore the recruit select process, the actual hiring process we should have been following.
So you knew what to follow, but...
Right. We've been through recruit select. I've been through it, you know, we've both been through it four or five times. Mm-hmm. And then one career visioning.
Why four times? Don't you get it after the first one?
No, you really don't. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing holds true for anyone in any business. I think you need to take a certain courses 10 times before you get to mastery, master the subject. So our goal is to take career visioning 10 times, to take the business planning clinic 10 times, to take the lead generation clinic 10 times, to go to family reunion 10 times. So the more we go through the same training, the more we master that training, and then we actually get into teaching it, and that really helps us begin to master it.
When you look back at all the training that you've done and the time you've spent learning different things, what would you say is the most valuable skill set for a mega agent that is doing $30 million in business? What's the most valuable skill set at that level? What do you really have to master?
I think it's people. It is definitely people. It's mm-hmm. hiring. It's putting the right people in the buyer positions, the buyer specialist positions, in the listing positions, in the administrative positions. It's mastering the people, because once you master the people, you can build a business as big as you want.
This is interesting, because you're saying at the beginning stages of your business, you were mastering relationships with clients and creating a database of clients that you will serve forever, I assume.
Yeah.
And as that develops, it really doesn't change. It's mastering relationships with people that you're in business with.
That's right.
Yeah, it doesn't change at all. Yeah. If I can go back to Recruit Select, the first time I took Recruit Select, I said, oh my gosh, this is graduate level org behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm coming out of that experience where I did get an MBA.
Yeah.
And that was graduate level org behavior. And so you go through that the first time, and then, you know, you ask, why did it take so long to hire someone? It takes a lot of work. It is hard to identify what your business needs, mm-hmm. to recruit for that person, to interview all of those people, and then to put them, that right person, in that role. It is a lot of work. And oh, by the way, we need to buy and sell real estate, you know, with our clients. So that's why.
But you think the work was worth it?
It's absolutely worth it. But this is what happens when you go from being a successful real estate agent to a business owner.
Right. Okay. So
we didn't realize that we were becoming a business owner. We didn't realize we owned a business in the beginning.
Right.
We thought, okay, real estate team. Once we started getting the Keller Williams concepts or the training in building a business, we started to realize, oh my gosh, we're building a business that needs to have a certain profitability, that needs to have a certain, you know, hiring practice, that needs to have certain processes and procedures. Mm-hmm. And so once we started getting all that, we started to realize, okay, let's stop and make sure we develop those procedures, we develop the processes,
Right, but if you stop, where's the revenue coming from?
Right. Yeah, that's the stuff.
So you have to balance that somehow.
Yeah. Right.
In the very beginning, when you're hiring people, you want to do it fast. Uh-huh. You meet someone who looks sexy and acts sexy and think they're going to be really good in the business.
And you don't hire them because the other person on your team thinks that's a bad idea.
Right. Well,
hired a man.
A
young man.
I didn't tell that, didn't I?
But they look good. I mean, look good and they sound good. And you're basically, you got to get off to your next listing appointment. So you say, look, I think you're great. Come on in. We'll get you started. And that's it. We didn't take them through the process of understanding who they were, what motivates them, what kind of a disc they have or what kind of a profile they have. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really stop to make sure that they fit our culture and that they'd be willing to do the work that's necessary to be successful.
You think that's a common evolution where people... Yeah. begin focused on sales and then need to make a decision about whether or not they're going to evolve into a business?
I think it's only common if they actually do evolve. I think many more people or individual agents get stuck and they can't
grow. But if they're going to 20 or 30 million,
They have to.
It's inevitable.
Or they'll just they'll just burn out.
Right.
You know, they'll destroy every personal relationship in their life on the way to 30 million.
Yeah. It's interesting. Now that we know so much about building a business, we meet people all the time from the traditional brands who want to talk to us. And we start to talk with them and we understand, we get an idea of where they are, and we start to see limited thinking.
Yeah.
And we start to see that, wow, the experience we've had at Keller Williams, the experience we've had here for the last 10 years and the training has given us the opportunity to learn how to build a business past the normal obstacles where people stop.
Right.
And break through those ceilings of achievement. And that's probably the biggest benefit we have, is that we've been able to fast track through becoming mature business builders versus people trying to set up a team and trying to survive.
Cool. Now, with your time with Keystone Partners Group, have you ever become the trainer? Have you ever become the instructor teaching others?
Very much so. Very much so. As a matter of fact, as part of the ALC for many, many years.
ALC being?
The Agent Leadership Council, which runs, which helps make decisions at the local market center level. So being part of the ALC, we were asked to actively teach. So we had to learn how to teach. There was a process for that. And then we had coursework, actually great coursework to choose from to teach. And we started to teach those courses. And that really became fun. It became a way to really get good at the actual the skill set we were trying to learn.
Obviously, at your success level, clearly a win for the people in your class. Where's the win for you?
And that's really easy. We get better and better. When we teach, we get more clarity. And if you've ever taken BOLD at Keller Williams, clarity is power. So I think you become more clear when you teach subject matter. You become the teacher. And that helps you actually become the doer and to stick to that material.
It's interesting. It reminds me of a saying I once heard long ago, if you want to master something, teach it.
If you want to make it a habit, do it 21 times.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you want to, what does Gary Keller say about 10,000 hours?
Mastery of 10,000 hours. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything for 10,000 hours,
right.
That'll do it.
And even Tony Robbins says the same thing. So if we're, I'm looking forward to doing this for 10,000 hours. I'm sure I probably have by now.
We've definitely been selling homes for 10,000 hours.
We really have. Yeah.
You dropped a couple names out there, both of which I'm a fan of.
Anthony
Robbins, obviously, is known by millions of people. Gary Keller, one of the most intelligent thinkers in real estate. Tell me about how you grow personally. I mean, what do you do to grow your relationship, to grow your health, to grow your mindset? And how does that impact your business? I know that's a lot of questions, but
I have to start this one because it's so important. Before real estate, we worked for somebody else.
Yeah.
And when we went to work as realtors, we really didn't understand anything about the industry. We thought we did.
Right.
And then we obviously went to work for Keller Williams, and we began to understand how to build a business. And that has led us down the road of just becoming, getting a better understanding of the fact that we have to grow personally in order to grow professionally. That it is God, family, business, or it should be. Whether it's God or the spiritual nature of what you are, it is God, family, and business. So once you realize that you have to grow personally, and once you go through a lot of the training we go through, you actually build a growth plan. And then you build a business plan besides that. And then you time block in order to achieve both. So going to work for, as a realtor, building a team, building a business has given us the opportunity to see very clearly that we need to grow personally and professionally and that there's a process to that.
So your business grows to the extent that you do?
Absolutely. There's no question.
Wow. That's
no
cool.
question.
So what are some of the things you read, listen to, and events you go to, things like that to become the best possible version of yourself personally?
So I'm a big reader, and I try to read everything I can after our little one goes to sleep. So whether it's current events like the New Yorker, or it's anything that Diana Kokoska has to say, anything that she's published, I will listen to. What's
who's the president of Mega Agent Productivity Systems.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's an amazing
person. So she is an amazing person.
Yeah,
she is. My podcasts are, there's a ton of variety on my podcasts. What's the Seth guy? I forget his name.
Seth Godin?
Godin. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was going to say Goodwin. So Seth Godin, listened to a lot of his stuff. Yeah. Yeah, so that's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I think to grow. So I first, you know, when I first read the Red Book, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, I learned what to do for the first time from 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock. And so I started to follow that. And part of that is, part of what I do in the beginning of the day is pray and meditate, take some time for myself, to clear my head.
You're a $30 million producer. How do you have time to do something like that in the morning?
You take the time.
You make the time.
Mm-hmm. You have to make the time.
You think it's really that important?
Oh, it's critical. It's critical. What we do, most of us just speed through life, but when you realize that you have as much time in the day as people like Steve Jobs, people like Bob Wells, people like, you know, Mike Campo. So you have as much time in the day as anyone who's growing a incredible business, a large company.
Yeah.
So the question is, how do you use that time? So if we use that time wisely, we'll be able to grow our businesses the way we want to grow them. We'll be able to grow our personal relationships with our children, with our wives, with our families, and we'll be able to grow personally and actually become better people because we're healthier, because we have a better mindset, and because we're more focused.
Right. I will say, as a parent, it's very, very important for me to set a good example for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So in the corporate world, I had to rush out of the house by 7:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we own our own business and I am fully employed and engaged in our business, I can set that good example for my daughter before she goes to school in the morning. So I don't have to rush out of the house. I can have that breakfast with her. I can talk to her about what that day is going to be like. Mm-hmm. And then she can see that I'm exercising in the morning. And that's a big part of the positive example that I'm setting for her is, you know, we need a really good start to our day. And this is something that I'm doing for you, Madeline. You know, I'm not avoiding this because I have to do something with you. I'm doing it for you.
And that time is priceless.
It is priceless. It is priceless. Yes. Everything else I need to do in the day can be done then by the time she leaves for school and she gets back from school.
And is it safe to say that your ability to do this literally hinges on the ability to leverage yourself through a team?
No question about it.
Right. So we talked about training. We talked about, you know, what do you get out of that? There is no greater reward for me than seeing someone who is in that classroom going on and being more successful than we were, or being more successful than they thought they were going to be. That in and of itself, that's a huge payday.
I'd love to see the light bulbs go off when I get into a room and I teach these days, whether it's the six personal perspectives or whether it's, you know, buyer mastery, seller mastery. We're teaching a whole list of new things these days.
And for me, light bulbs are going off right now. I mean, this is amazing.
I mean, to watch people become engaged in front of you and to call you up after the class and say, wow, I really haven't had that experience yet here at Keller Williams. So the impact we can have on people is fantastic.
And we live near the Market Center, as it turns out. So, you know, we also get that call is, can you help me with this contract? You know, this isn't someone who's on our team, right? And they'll say, just come over. They are at the kitchen table. You know, we're helping them with the contract.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
It's very rewarding to be able to help someone else in their business.
Yeah. Back to your question, your question was about how we grow personally and what we do to kind of sustain that. I think obviously as you know, we agree, getting up and prayer and meditation, exercising, eating a good breakfast, or eating properly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we do many other things. We listen to podcasts. I'm a big avid podcast. I listen to a ton of different people on podcasts. I listen to audio books. A recent book we're both reading right now is Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. So Daring Greatly by Brené Brown. And she is, suggested to us by our coach.
Okay.
By our mastery coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learn through reading and through paying attention to, you know, people who am I thinking of? The Four Disciplines. I think probably the biggest impact that an author has had on me probably is, who's the author?
Sean Covey?
The Covey.
Four Disciplines of Execution.
Yeah.
The Four Disciplines of Execution, Sean Covey. Mm-hmm. That has had the biggest impact on me in terms of setting, you know, making sure that our team, you know, has their own wigs, making sure each department within the team has their own wigs.
But wildly important goals.
Right, wildly important goals.
Yeah, this, this book has nothing to do with real estate, but it does have everything to do with real estate.
It really does. It really does. Obviously, you know, setting lead measures and setting lag measures and measuring our business accordingly. Mm-hmm. And then obviously The One Thing by Gary Keller. The One Thing has been probably instrumental after a book called First Things First that I read years ago. Mm-hmm. Gary Keller made even more sense by coming out with The One Thing.
Yeah.
But these are all the things we do to grow professionally.
All the things, the building blocks that keep building a stronger and stronger foundation for business growth.
I think it's worth mentioning, having come from a corporate career, you know, 15 years with a major corporation, you know, the four disciplines of execution is, you know, that's what we did. You know, when you look at these major corporations that continue to be successful for decades and decades, that's what they're doing.
So
a lot of people get into real estate, very entrepreneurial, maybe don't have that background, and to be able to take that book and go, oh, okay, this is how we're supposed to be running a business. It condenses it, and I think it makes it pretty easy to understand.
Bringing corporate structure into the real estate world.
Right, which isn't terrible. It's not a terrible thing.
No, those are great. I think that's a wonderful thing. So it's really exciting to see the connection between personal growth and professional growth. And I want to get back to your decision-making process when you decided to become a partner of KPG and in business with us. Why don't you tell me about that? What was the deciding factor in that decision?
Yeah, I think that came up in my second conversation and with Rudy Usyk. I was talking with him about who the owner was of this Keller Williams office, and he talked about Mike Campo and he talked about Bob Wells. And he mentioned the type of support that he gives that particular office. And I was impressed by that because I'd never heard that from the other offices that I talked to, the other companies that I talked to.
Yeah.
And then probably a couple of years later when we started to realize that we wanted to build a business, we wanted to take advantage of the passive income opportunities that you guys had always preached to us, we took advantage of the mortgage company passive income, the title company passive income, the profit share passive income, and there was another opportunity with having a share, an agent, you know, part of agent ownership of the Market Center, and Mike Campo gave that to us. So I think we saw extreme value in having an owner, KPG, who was willing to give us significant passive income streams and really help us build not only our real estate business but build those income streams to where they are today, which is just, you know, we never dreamed we'd have this much profit share coming in. We'd have, you know, consistently checks coming in each quarter for the shares we own with the Market Center, and then obviously with mortgage and title. Mortgage no longer exists, but the title still does, and that's fantastic.
So. How does it feel to have multiple streams of passive income in addition to your real estate commission?
Yeah, you know, I don't think we didn't even realize that was an opportunity. You know, before we got into real estate.
I think it's fair to say we understand the value of building business with passive income because we had investment properties prior to getting into real estate. I mean, our entree into real estate was investing in investment properties for our own asset portfolio.
Sure.
And this is while we both had corporate jobs. Mm-hmm. So the significance of passive income was present. But when you think about going into real estate as an individual agent, you're not necessarily thinking about passive income opportunities from being an investor in the business. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about, you know, selling, you know, getting that commission check.
Yeah.
When you look at the big picture and you realize you are growing a business and you're part of a successful, thriving business like KPG, you want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so those passive income streams are what we probably weren't thinking about or didn't dream of back then, but now we see as significant benefits to being involved with KPG.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'm just trying to get some context there.
Sure.
If you looked at the passive income that you're seeing from your association with Keystone Partners Group, and you compared that against how many single-family homes that you would have to purchase in order to generate the same kind of passive income, how many houses do you think we're talking about there?
It'd be a lot of houses. So, if you really understand, and you've helped me understand through financial mastery, mm-hmm. You've helped me understand the value of those horizontal income streams, and a lot of the coaching. It's interesting. I know you're part of several organizations like GoBundance.
Yes.
You've been part of that, and I've been to some of their presentations. And so your KPGs, Bob Wells, Mike Campos, inspirational guidance to help us develop a financial path towards retirement and towards building wealth.
Thank you for that.
Has been incredible. I mean, where else are we going to hear, from people like Rock Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
Where else are we going to hear from people like your experiences with Tony Robbins?
Mm-hmm.
That has probably been the biggest part of us really thinking about our financial future and building wealth.
What would you say would be the most important decision, or let me rephrase that, the most important criteria for you in selecting a company to affiliate with? If you were, knowing what you know now, if you were coming back into the industry as a fresh new person with all this wisdom behind you, what would you be thinking of? What's most important in making a decision about affiliation for you as a personally?
I would say, how important is it for that organization to grow successful business people?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is what I feel is most important to KPG, is that they are helping people grow businesses mm-hmm. that provide that safety and security mm-hmm. that we thought about when we were all losing our jobs in the 80s at the steel mills, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
We have that now, and we have that because of our not only our own efforts, but because of the guidance and the
leadership.
Coaching and consulting that we got from KPG.
And leadership, the fact that the leadership team at KPG has been responsible for growing so many leaders in the many offices that we're affiliated with. We've watched that happen, and we're part of that leadership team.
Yes, you are.
That subset. So we're very proud to be here.
That's a great. Yeah. Tell me about your coaching and your consulting. Particularly, why don't we start with your consulting relationship with the partners and leadership within KPG?
Mm-hmm. I think that we learned as we started to build downline, as we started to meet people who wanted to become agents and we introduced them to our team leader, we started to realize that there was a consulting relationship there with the team leader and the office, the ALC,
mm-hmm.
In introducing new people to real estate and Keller Williams and KPG.
Mm-hmm.
I think it starts from the top down. And so if you have someone like our team leader, Francis McCarthy, who was hand-selected by KPG.
He's an amazing guy.
He is an amazing guy. Mm-hmm. We had you prior to that, Bob, for just a little
not,
short
not,
period of
not
time.
Like Francis McCarthy.
But and you did, and you helped us really get back on path. But mm-hmm. but when you brought in Francis McCarthy, it really made the biggest difference to our office, which has grown, 200% since
if not tripled. Yeah.
Amazing
yeah.
growth.
Yeah.
So that he's consulting with our team. He actually is a consultant to the top teams in the market center. He works as a coach to coach us up, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and he actually helps us recruit people. So
yeah.
That type of consultant relationship is
he helps
critical.
You bring people on your team.
That's right. That's
oh,
right.
Wow.
And he's done that two or three times now. So if it wasn't for Francis McCarthy, if it wasn't for that consulting relationship we have with the team leader, I don't think we'd have half the talent we have on our team.
If I can take that down to more of a block and tackle level, day to day in the office, you're an agent, you have a question about something. And let's say you're a solo agent or a smaller or a newer team.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I can walk out my door to another more experienced agent or to Francis and ask that question, and I can get the help that I need. Mm. I just expect that in our market center.
Yeah.
Through years of experience, I've heard that at other brokerages, it's maybe not that way. There's mm-hmm. not that that level of trust that an agent can go talk to another agent about mm-hmm. a transaction that they're going through, for mm-hmm. example. That was kind of shocking to me, because our culture
yeah.
and our market center is that you help others mm-hmm. be more successful.
So do you think that collaboration, mm-hmm. agent to agent, is important at every level of production?
Oh, I think it's critical.
Absolutely.
Coming from, we call it coming from contribution. So the more we contribute to others' success, the more we build our own success. Mm-hmm. The more opportunities we have to
Absolutely.
Build our own success.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that as you became more and more successful, you started to look for a high-level coach, someone who could take you to the very, very highest level of performance. And I know that many mega agents around the country are coaching with mega agent productivity systems. Yeah. Do you have any experience with them? And why don't you tell me about that?
Yeah. We do. We do. We knew probably longer. We knew that we needed a very high level coach for longer than it took us to get there. So we finally made that decision. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that that MAPS connected us to an extraordinary leader in real estate who happened to be in the Philadelphia market. So
it was incredible. It took us so long to fill out the application. Right? So a very simple application. We looked at it 3 years ago. We looked at it 2 years ago, and actually just last year we filled that application mm-hmm. out, and it has changed everything. And we realize now that we should have done this.
And I want to be honest about what I do.
Year
I want to be honest about
maybe year two.
Year two.
Maybe year three, but no, not any further than year
For you.
Three.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching is so important. Whether it's and MAPS coaching, obviously and I think that's something I think that KPG has been pushing. You've been suggesting to us for years.
Absolutely.
Get coaching, Paul.
Absolutely.
Coach with your team leader. Coach with mentor agents, whoever you can find. Mm-hmm. One of the most interesting things I heard Jeff Silva say, another leader in the KPG system. Jeff basically said that his biggest mistake was not following the model when he first joined Keller Williams. Mm. And it took him 6 years before he actually stuck to his guns and followed the model and got the coaching he needed and followed Recruit Select to hire the right people. That was an amazing thing to hear someone like Jeff Silva say, who does an amazing business, probably twice the size of our business.
Right. Mm-hmm. So why did it take so long to fill out that form, that application?
No,
I mean, it's just one page.
I think we were afraid, like everybody else, that if we spent the money, and we actually spend the
It was not the money.
Yeah.
It was not the money.
No, it was not the money.
We spend a lot more on restaurants than we do on
Starbucks.
Coaching. Do you know what? Yeah, absolutely.
So
spend more on that.
It wasn't the money. What was it really?
I think it was, what was it? It's a block. I think that most typical agents, mm-hmm. A lot of agents actually fear success. So the more we grow as business owners and business builders, we realize that we have our fears, and they're kind of inbred. They're there from how we grew up. And part of being successful is breaking through those fears, not being afraid to be someone that you really want to be, and then really defining who you want to be with goals and structure and coaching, and then setting out to achieve those goals.
So you actually have goals then?
We do, yeah.
Okay, and how do you set goals? What's the process behind that for you?
Well, we're in that right now.
We're in that right now. So we typically set goals at the end of each cap year. So, call it a calendar year or cap year. We do it by cap year. Mm-hmm. And that ends basically September 1st. So so we're setting goals right now for the new cap year, which is the rest of 2016, 2017. Mm-hmm. We take our team structure with buyer agents, listing specialists, with anybody who's in lead generating for us, the inside sales team. And we assign a certain number to each one of those people, and it adds up to a number.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit collaborative, and now it forces us to be coaches for the agents who are on our team. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, I feel a huge responsibility to the agents who are on our team, mm-hmm. because they have families too. They mm-hmm. have families, they have goals, mm-hmm. and they need to bring something home to their families as well. So we take this seriously, and so part of it is, hey, I think you can do this much. Can you commit to this?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
then you have to, you roll that all up. We look at that as business owners and go, are these big enough goals for us? Can we do better than this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's our simple process, which, isn't unlike any other business.
Yeah. I think it all starts with setting standards, mm-hmm. and our mastery coaching so far has helped us set standards for our own team. We didn't have standards for the first 7 years. We now have standards.
Wow.
So if you set standards and you hold your people, your team accountable to those standards, and hold yourself with MAPS coaching to those standards, then you know that what you can achieve is unlimited.
Right. Raise your standards, raise your life.
Well, I'll tell you where that one, the concept of standards sort of slapped me in the face, because we've heard of standards before, right? We're all grown-ups. We were at Coaching Skills Camp last year in Austin.
And congratulations. I hear that's an amazing program.
It was fantastic. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Diana's on stage and she's having a conversation about standards. And she said, you know, what is the lowest amount of transactions an agent on your team has ever completed in a month? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it two? Is it one? Mm-hmm. Is it zero? Mm-hmm. Then your standard is zero. And so we're sitting in that audience as business owners thinking we're hot stuff, right? Because we're at coaching skills camp and our standard is zero. So guess what? We need to reevaluate what our business is and what we're doing for the agents that we're in business with.
I think that the fact that you are at a program like Coaching Skills Camp so that you can coach the people on your team to success speaks volumes. I know you said earlier that you attribute the longevity of many people on your team to loyalty. Mm-hmm. And I want to just compliment you on the fact that that really is loyalty when you're willing to go across the country to learn how to impact the people on your team in a way that they meet their goals and the goals for their family. And that collaborative thinking with respect to setting goals together and then helping them achieve the goals that are really important to them. It's amazing. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So as your team gets more and more profitable, tell me about your own profitability. I mean, it's important that your team is profitable. How do you make sure that what you're making, you're creating wealth with? Tell me about your personal wealth building.
Mm-hmm. So the personal wealth building has, with some guidance from KPG, actually, has allowed me to get out of the transactional side of the business. Mm-hmm. So we're now generating the kind of income that allows me to not have to transact every day. Mm-hmm. So I can work on employee development, business development outside of our little market center. Mm-hmm. And it also allows Paul then to take time to find the right agents to replace him. So having that level of profitability allows us to not have to focus so much on the transaction, but allow us to teach others in our organization to provide that same level of high service.
Yeah, and you mentioned Financial Mastery earlier, which is a program that you know is near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
Tell me about your experience there and what impact that's had for you and maybe other people that you know attended that.
It's been you.
That got me, you know, it got me thinking is what it did. So you know, the first thing I needed to do was understand what financial mastery was, what it meant to me, and going through your course and listening to other people talk about what it meant to them really changed the way I thought about wealth building. That, and also, whether you know it or not, you recommended or someone recommended to us that we speak to another individual that works very closely with you, and I believe Tony and Mike.
It's Jim Amarello, right?
Jim Amarello,
from Velocity Concepts.
Velocity Concepts, and he's been...
It's a great resource.
He has been, just like Mastery Coaching, when we finally let him in our door, which we held him off for a couple years, but when he finally came in and he started to talk about, you know, his methods and what he can do to help us, our jaws dropped. We started to realize that we were not thinking about, you know, building wealth the right way. So, thanks to KPG, we have now a financial plan that involves a wealth building account that it doesn't involve us putting money into different accounts that really don't have, you know, don't mean anything to us. Mm-hmm. We're actually now on a wealth building plan that's actually building wealth, where we can actually see down the road that we have the opportunity to own businesses, to own other real estate, in addition to the rental properties we have.
That's exciting.
And potentially have more ownership in market centers
and
do amazing things.
Yeah, so you're not only focusing on the profitability of your real estate practice, you're using the resources from that real estate practice to build personal wealth at the same time. So tell me about, when you think about the culture of your team, Tell me a little bit about that. What are some of the words that you would hope that clients and the general public would use when they describe the Lot team?
Care, I hope.
Yeah,
I
care, hope. being touched by being touched by the by a member of our team, someone who's, you know, a lot of our team, you know, through the culture we've kind of set up. My culture has always been from the beginning is making sure that the client's needs are more important than our own, more important than the commission. So we actually have many instances where we've stepped in and we've helped people do work on their homes. We've helped people find a way to get their home sold if it was a short sale and they couldn't afford to stay in their home anymore. We find ways to help people who are downsizing, who realize that they have to make a change and they don't know where to start. So our team, we hire based on the, you know, part of our culture is to make sure we're engaged with the clients we help and making sure we understand what their true needs are and then go the extra mile or go the extra 10 miles to get that transaction closed for them. So you know, caring about our customers, you know, touching our customers deeply, and obviously providing the highest level, you know, service to buyers and sellers.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most amazing things about your team is that not only do you do a large volume of business, you're able to deliver such an amazing customer experience during the process of that. And I know that you've looked at expansion. And this is obviously something that some of the most brilliant minds in our industry are saying is the future of the real estate business. Why don't you tell me about your thoughts on expansion and having an expansion team?
I think we're very excited. I know we are very excited about expansion. So we are members of Mega Agent Expansion. So that when we're ready and the opportunity presents itself, we can act on that. Through our first attempt at thinking maybe we could expand, we learned that our hub and our operations needed to be much more robust and much more competent. And so that really put me on a path to going back to identifying the roles that need to be filled, identifying candidates for those roles. And so now we're at the point where I feel like we've got a great hub in place so that when that opportunity presents itself, we're ready. And then go figure, you know, whether it's Providence or planning, we had that opportunity last year. So we're working with what was a local builder who's expanding into Delaware State. So now we're in three counties of Delaware, you know, working with them to expand. And we've got...
I've got an appointment to meet with Mark, with a an agent by the name of Mark, and a new agent in Delaware next week to talk about potentially, you know, going through the process of the interview process of becoming an expansion partner for our team.
So you've gave that a shot before, and it didn't work out quite the way you'd hoped. But was there value in that attempt?
Oh, absolutely.
So much value.
You know, and I'll just, you know, say that we thought we may expand into State College, and it was a great experience for us. You know, same state, so you think it might be, you know, easier than it is, but a little bit different culture. What we do have out of that is an amazing referral agent partner up there in State College.
Bob so Langton.
There's a lot of... there are a lot of miles put on between folks in southeastern Pennsylvania and State College. So there's a lot of opportunity to help people either relocate or buy second homes. But yeah, so the relationships that we built out of that have been amazing and the opportunities that came from it. And who knows, expansion may happen in the future. We haven't given up on that. But what it told us about our business and then the additional relationships that we made, absolutely no regrets at all.
It's interesting. So the best thing in the world to do, if you have a team, if you have a real estate team, and you're thinking about growing a team, attend ESO, attend Expansion Systems Orientation. The process of attending ESO gives you, you know, gives you so much background on what's important to your own real estate business. It forces you to focus, is your own business ready for expansion? Do you have the administrative structure? Do you have the people in the right positions? And what does it take? You know, do you have the lead generation strategy?
Let me add to that. Yeah. We also sent our most experienced transaction coordinator, so one of our full-time employees. So this is someone who does not transact regularly, but is on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so we sent him to the two-day ESO, and he came back encouraged, energized, motivated, mm-hmm. and you know, wants to be a partner in our expansion now. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's not only for the agents to attend, but send your staff. You invest in them anyway.
Yeah, sure.
So send them and allow them to help you grow.
It's 2 days of the highest level coaching you could get on building a team, on building your own real estate business, and it was probably the impetus for us to say, okay, now we're ready for mastery coaching.
And then it expands, I imagine, not only, it expands the realm of possibility for everyone on your team with respect to what they think is possible.
That's right.
Everyone.
As well as you. So everybody on the team has this bigger vision.
Right.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So, and it's important for me too, just from the human perspective, that the we'll say our employees or our staff, this isn't just a job.
Right.
You know, we are invested in them. They are invested in us. Mm-hmm. This is a growth opportunity. Whether they stay with us for, you know, 8, 10, however many years it is, mm-hmm. Or it's a stepping stone. So that it's really important for me, I think, and for us both to know that our folks don't just have a job with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. When I think about the last 10 years with Keller Williams and KPG, you know, we've been encouraged to get into coaching. We've gone through, because of all the encouragement and the training that KPG provides to their offices, we've been able to learn a lot about the potential of expansion. We've been able to try expansion and go through expansion systems orientation. That has taught us so much about our business. And then going to the next level of coaching, we've learned that we were kind of missing the vision necessary to grow a big business. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, getting into mastery coaching, that gave us the opportunity to identify what's our standard, to find out what our lead generation strategy was, and to really create a vision for the future of our team. What does that look like? Does it look like
that was going to be my next question. What is that, the big vision for your team?
The big vision for us is to be $2.4 million in GCI mm-hmm. as an individual team and have several expansion teams out there and have other real estate related businesses. That's on our vision. We mm-hmm. start with our org chart of today. Mm-hmm. We move into the org chart of tomorrow, of 3 years from now, and then 5 years from now, we have our vision, which is a much bigger business than we have now.
So you have a clear vision of everyone that you'll need to have on your team in order to manifest that vision and
that's
what
right.
they'll do. Wow.
That's right.
That's
and
really
without
cool.
that, what do you have? You're mm-hmm. kind of throwing darts at a dartboard. You're not thinking about, you know, how, you know,
some
people.
You're entrepreneurial natural
versus purposeful. Talent versus
yes.
purposeful.
Charm and good
E to
looks.
P.
Yeah,
right.
yeah, yeah.
It took us
yeah.
a long time to get to being purposeful.
So when you get to that 2.5 million GCI, it's a nice number.
Yeah.
What would you like to see that create in terms of a legacy for you? What do you want to leave behind? What do you want people to remember you for?
I think creating, you know, a business worth having for each of our agents,
mm-hmm. right.
Creating an income opportunity for their mm-hmm. for them and their families. Mm-hmm. So what that means to me is having the ability to go have ownership in other market centers, mm-hmm. to, you know, potentially other KPG market centers.
Sure.
Become a leader and a coach, become mm-hmm. a mastery coach myself. So it gives us unlimited opportunity to invest in Keller Williams and the expansion of KPG, in becoming mastery coaches, in becoming teachers and master faculty. It's almost unlimited. Hmm. It really is.
One of our agents is just about to buy her first investment property.
Oh, sweet.
That is so rewarding mm-hmm. to say that we gave her and her husband that opportunity, because I don't think that's something they probably ever thought of before.
Right. They haven't. When we met this agent,
mm-hmm.
you know, she is our longest term agent. And she's been, you know, she's had three-figure years, many years. She does a tremendous job, and you know, she identifies with the culture we have as a team.
Yeah.
And she also identifies with, you know, we're creating with our vision and with our wealth-building ideas, we're helping her,
mm-hmm.
you know, create the same kind of wealth that we have for ourselves.
She's the average of the people she hangs out with.
You're That's right.
Very, very powerful influence on her.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And as you manifest that vision, What does your life look like? I mean, how do you celebrate that in your personal world? I mean, what are you going to do for fun then?
You know, it's interesting. I think we learn to celebrate every day. So we learn that by being part of this company, by being part of KPG, and being part of the leadership of KPG, the leading agents. We've learned that we need to celebrate ourselves every day, celebrate each other, you know, have more gratitude, be more grateful in how we carry ourselves. And don't you agree?
I mean, Absolutely.
I mean, we didn't know that before we had the opportunity to learn how to live our lives and run a business.
Any big bucket list items on the horizon?
Wow. A couple 14ers, maybe climb a couple 14ers.
Oh, and, nice.
And
so as the mother of a daughter, I'm always thinking about the example I'm setting for her. Sure. Yeah. And, you know, no one knows what one's future holds. So is she going to be part of the business? Is she going to have a business of her own? So every day is about making sure I'm a really good example for her and making sure that she's got the option to do whatever she chooses. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of folks today don't feel like they don't have options. Right. They're burdened by debt. Mm-hmm. They just don't see opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever want her to feel like she doesn't have an option.
That's amazing. So if you were to leave our audience with one parting comment about maybe what they can do to have an impact on their life, to change their life for the better, something they can do in their business, their personal world that'll have a big impact, what would you suggest? Both of you get a shot at this one.
Gosh, I think it's easy for me. It's surround yourself. You are the average of the five people you hang out with. But surround yourself with leaders. If you're in real estate and you want to become successful in real estate and grow a team, then surround yourself with great leaders. Surround yourself with great mentors. Get coaching. Become part of an organization like KPG that cares about each of the offices they have deeply. And launch.
Right. So I'm going back to that application, right? That for MAPS coaching. And it was about the commitment. So make a commitment. Make a commitment to yourself that you're going to succeed at whatever you choose to do. Make that commitment and then go act on it.
Yeah.
Amazing. I can't tell you how happy I've been that you spent time with me today and decided to join our audience at Get Real. On behalf of myself and Keystone Partners Group and everyone in the audience, I want to thank both of you very, very much for coming. I know you had a long drive to get here. And I certainly want to invite our audience to come back and visit us again at the Get Real show. And we'll be here and excited to share everything that we have with you in the future. So, Amanda,
Paul, thank you.
It's been my pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
You got it.
You're welcome.